You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey, Holly.
Hey, Dave.
What is going on today on the What Difference Does It Make podcast?
Which is part of the Pantheon podcast family. Today's another great day. I love talking to radio people. How about you?
Yes. So this is a radio person who is based in Nashville, Tennessee. He works for Lightning 100 WRLT. This is the Reverend Keith Coase. And you might ask yourself, the Reverend? And we will
say, listen closely and you'll find out how he came to be ordained.
He is an ordained minister. He's also a big music fan, which is why we want to get him in here and talk about music played on LA radio station KROQ in 1985.
Guests and year-end chart, songs number 60 to 51. We'll chat a little bit about those and the music and the videos.
Yeah, this one was a little obscure. A lot of songs didn't necessarily make it big. And because Keith is based in the Midwest, a lot of this is new to him. So that was kind of interesting. He got to hear a lot of new music from 1985.
So we're doing this with the Reverend Keith Coase today, but also there will be outtakes from this interview on our YouTube channel. So just look for the What Difference Does It Make podcast on YouTube and you'll find quite a few outtakes.
We're going to get a little bit into the Reverend's story and learn a lot about him and what makes him tick and what his interests are. So let's dive right in right now. This is the Reverend Keith Coase on the What Difference Does It Make podcast.
Greetings.
Greetings. All right.
Greetings.
It should be interesting.
Okay.
The music you sent me was stuff I hadn't heard in a long time. And a few of them I'd heard the bands, but I hadn't heard the song before. So it's a trip back in the Wayback Machine.
Yes, it certainly is. And that's kind of the reason we're doing that, is just to kind of rediscover some new old music and some old bands and some bands that time forgot.
We like the Wayback Machine.
It really is the Wayback Machine. Let's go way back. You gave me a little primer. Like, I was wondering, well, before you became the Reverend, you were just Keith, and you were at Vanderbilt in 1985? Or sort of?
Tennessee State.
I went to school at Tennessee State, but I worked at Vanderbilt's radio station for 4 years. I worked there from 1980 to 1984. And then I got fired because I found out I didn't go to school there.
So where you were at, did they have a radio station there?
They had a closed circuit or whatever that's called. It's like campus only, but Vanderbilt station, you could hear it all over Nashville.
Okay.
And I heard about it, and they were having a DJ drive, so I went and signed up and got a shift. They never asked if I went to school there. I was the same age as all the students, and they just assumed that I went to school there.
Right. What kind of idiot would want to be on a radio station in Vanderbilt?
It was like the cool rock station, because back in the 80s, we played like the Pretenders and Elvis Costello, Joe Jackson, the Police. And the rock station was playing Journey and Foreigner and all the bands that are now classic rock. So we were the cool people.
So is that a thing? I never really thought about that. Is it a requirement that you attend the school where the radio station is? It wouldn't occur to me to go elsewhere if I was a student somewhere. But is that made clear to you that you're supposed to be a student?
They never told me that there was a rule, so I just signed up, and I worked there for 4 years. I was the music director the last 2 years.
Pretty good.
And who is the weasel? Who pulled the plug on you?
Some guy who wanted to be the new music director.
Oh, betrayed. Oh, my God.
Yeah, but then that skyrocketed you, right? You moved on to bigger and better things.
And you knew this was what you wanted to do. This was your life journey.
Yeah, I've liked radio ever since I was a kid, and that's all I've really done in the last long time.
It's one of those things when you know, you know.
I've been here almost 30 years.
That's amazing. So after Vanderbilt, what happened?
Where'd you go? Where'd you stop next?
I worked at a news talk station called WLAC, which is a 50,000-watt station that covers like 30 states and so on.
Yeah.
And I used to work on the overnights playing religious tapes, like Reverend Ike and sermons and crazy crap. And then I started working the daytime, and I was a sales assistant and a board operator for the talk shows.
And it was around this time that you discovered metal music. Is this
Yes, that is correct.
This is the way of the world. Okay, so you made a little turn. You were initially like at Vanderbilt. It sounded like it was just kind of like an AOR sort of, just playing all the newer rock bands.
Right.
But then what was the band that turned you?
Well, I started doing a metal show when I was at WRPU as well.
So was there a specific band?
Not really. I just loved the music so much. I loved Metallica. I started going to shows, and I always got free tickets. So it was cool. To hang out with the band.
And what was the club? What were the clubs in Nashville? What was the metal scene like in Nashville?
The late '80s. There was a club called Sal's, SAL'S, and they bought in bands from out of town, and everyone there had long hair and wore leather and lots of beer drinking going on.
Are you watching Pam and Tommy?
I have not watched it yet.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's an interesting story because I met Motley Crue when they were opening for Ozzy, and my friend worked at Elektra, so I went to the in-store with Motley Crue and helped them drink Jack Daniels in the back room before they started signing girls' body parts.
What year was this?
It was at the Shout at the Devil tour.
Okay, so, boy, that was like 84?
Somewhere around there. So I was like, this is cool.
Yeah, did you get to cozy up to a number of these guys? Because you were, I mean, at Vanderbilt, you must have, you were the guy. You were the guy reporting. I'm sure you were the only metal show in Nashville, so you were the guy that everyone, you were the gatekeeper.
Yeah, I remember going to see Metallica and going back in their dressing room. This is before they had major security.
Yeah.
And they were like, who are you, dude? Why are you back here? And I was like, dude, I have the metal show. I play your music. And they were like, oh, cool. And I hung out and ate pizza and drank with them. That was back when Cliff was in the band.
Yeah. Did you realize, like, oh, Alcoholica is an appropriate name for this band? Nickname?
Absolutely. I've gotten to hang out with so many of my favorite bands over the years. I remember going to see Pantera, and I was backstage, and Dimebag Darrell was making me drinks. It was like, this is awesome.
What did you look like in 1985? I mean, if you're a metal guy, and how big was the hair? How leather was the outfit? You know,
I had a biker jacket, but I had a high top fade.
Nice.
Like Kid and Play.
Oh, nice. A Kid and Play reference, the first one I think we've had here.
Still a fan. Do you listen to the new stuff? Same genre, new stuff?
Not as much. I listen a lot to the classic metal, Scorpions, Judas Priest, Maiden.
Yeah.
And I work at a AAA station. So
it's good to have balance.
I think it was 1984, and I went with my friend, and we drove from Nashville to Los Angeles, and then from L.A. to Seattle. But I listened to K-Rock. And heard like the Swedish Eagle and some other really interesting guys. And it was cool to hear cool alternative music on the radio because it didn't happen in most cities back then.
Did you ever hang out at the Rainbow Room and shake hands with Lemmy or do anything like that?
I have to send you a picture of me and Lemmy.
Oh, okay.
I went to LA a bunch of, that's what, actually I was born there, but I moved to Minnesota when I was a kid. But I used to go to the Foundation's Forum, which is run by Concrete Marketing, and it was a heavy metal convention.
Yeah.
And it was a different hotel every year because they would never let them come back. You know, you go to the bar and you look around and it's like, oh, there's like all the dudes from Slayer at the bar drinking with Dave Mustaine.
I'm sure you've broached the idea of adding some sort of metal show on Saturday overnights or something, you know?
I've thought about it, but I don't think our owner would like that.
Oh, owners, I tell you.
He's a cool guy. When I left yesterday, our owner is actually the engineer at the station. He was rewiring the production room.
That's so cool.
At 7 o'clock at night, he was working.
Learning a lot about the Reverend Keith Coase. He is the music director at Lightning 100 in Nashville, Tennessee. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things KISS. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
And we're back with the Reverend Keith Coase and chatting about the songs from the K-Rock 1985 year-end chart, number 60 to 51.
Okay, you are the music director at WRLT, Lightning. What's the frequency?
Lightning 100. It's 100.1 on the FM dial.
When's your shift? When are you on air?
My shift is 7 to midnight, so I voice track that every day.
Yeah.
And then I'm on Sunday midday as well. So we have a very small staff here at the station.
Do you program any differently for your shift than for other people? Can you throw in a little treat for yourself?
Every once in a while, I might toss in something really cool. It's a throwback song or whatever that people may not have heard in a long time.
Maybe one of these.
Yes. It's quite possible. Well, we're talking KROQ in 1985. These are the top 106.7 songs. And we've talking to our favorite music directors and radio industry insiders that and kind of rediscovering these songs. And the ones that we gave you are 60 to 51 for the Reverend Keith Coase. Everyone calls you Rev. What happened? How did you become one of the Reverend?
How did you become ordained?
Probably 20 years ago. Actually, it had to be 30 years ago. Gosh, it's been a long time. Time flies. This same frequency, but it was a different station. And I did a metal show, and this company called The Syndicate, they got all the metal directors in CMJ to get ordained in the Universal Life Church. On their website, it takes like 2 minutes to get ordained. So when you look at CMJ back in the day, every metal director was named Reverend whatever their last name was.
That's spectacular. Yeah, I was just joking with Holly, like, oh, you know, normally you would get tattoos, but you guys, especially for metal guys, this was a more metal thing to become a reverend. I love that.
It's really cool because my friend worked at the phone company back when I got my cell phone. So my phone bill comes to Reverend Keith Coes. And when I call people, it shows up on their caller ID as Reverend Coes. It's pretty hilarious.
It's the best. Have you used the power of the reverend and married anybody or baptized anybody?
I'd be afraid to.
Really? Okay, so it has never happened, huh? No one has ever even requested you?
Several people have asked me, but most of my friends that were married are not married.
Maybe for their second marriages.
We'll make it happen. Okay, so let's get into the music, shall we?
Okay.
All right. So we're going to start with number 60. This was from 1985, a band called Wang Chung, which I'm sure you remember as kind of a one-hit wonder. However, this is a song called Fire in the Twilight, which I was reminded was in The Breakfast Club, the movie, the John Hughes classic.
And I recall when they first came out, I think their name was spelled H-U-A-N-G, Chung.
Hyung Chung. Yeah, I saw that on Wikipedia.
Really?
In Wikipedia, it said Huang Chung. It means yellow bell in Chinese. Did you know that?
I did not know
that. I had always assumed there was like the sound of a guitar, like Wang Chung was what that was. But I don't know. Maybe
I thought it was like some of the other nonsensical.
Yeah. Like Kaja Gugu or something like that?
Kaja Gugu, exactly.
I was not familiar with this song. And when I listened to it this week, I didn't recall ever hearing it before. So it probably never got played in our town.
I'm sure Breakfast Club got played in your town. Did you?
I've never seen that movie.
What is happening? What?
I watch movies like Blazing Saddles and Animal House.
Okay.
Watch movies like that.
Oh, well. Do yourself a favor. Have you seen any John Hughes movies? Like, you know, even like 16 Candles or Pretty in Pink?
I don't think so.
Really? Are you a horror movie fan? Maybe like...
No, not really into that either.
Like, okay. No Friday the 13th
movie? I've seen that before, but no, I'm not really into that.
Okay.
I mostly watch news and sports and comedies.
Dave, did you remember this song?
Vaguely. You know, watching the video was, you know, it was just kind of nice to see Ventura Boulevard is in the San Fernando Valley in Studio City. So it was just kind of fun to see what the valley looked like back in 1984-85.
She didn't remember.
I vaguely remembered it. It's a catchy and, you know, it's a decent song. Do you like it, Holly?
I didn't remember it before, but when I listened to it and watched the video, I remembered it. I did not remember it being in the movie.
Yeah.
And as you know, I love the movie.
It's a good one day, Rev. You know, you got some free time on your hands. You know, just pop that in. All right. So then let's just move on from there and go to another weird band. This is the Lovable Lads from Liverpool. This is Dead or Alive.
Is that Pete Burns?
Pete Burns, indeed. Yes.
I've been lying here so lonely. I've been wishing you would telephone me. Oh, I just can't lose this desperation. Won't you bring around a new sensation? Hey, you got lots of energy, yeah. To me, yeah. Say we could have a real good time, yeah. Maybe I could make you my own mind, yeah. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Lover, come back to me. You don't have to knock on my door, no. Lover,
Did you watch the video for Lover Come Back to Me?
Yeah, I watched all of them. It was cool. It makes me think how cool MTV was and how important it was for people our age.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. I mean, for us, K-Rock and MTV are almost, I would say, interchangeable, but they go hand in hand.
I was also looking at on Wikipedia, and it's we talk about record store clerks and how mean they were. Mm-hmm. And apparently, Pete Burns was also like one of them. He worked at a record store called Probe Records in Liverpool. And it said that Burns was notorious for his maltreatment of customers, sometimes throwing their purchases at them because he disapproved of their selection. So, you know, it's just like, here you go. Oh, Wang Chung, fine. Enjoy that, would you?
Back in the day, a record store clerk was the cool job to have.
Right. And what was your record store of choice? Where did you go in Nashville to get your hits?
It was a chain called Katz Records. It was a chain in the Southeast, family owned. They owned a one stop, and they also owned like 7 or 8 stores around Tennessee.
Nice. Katz, K-A-T-Z?
No, C-A-T-apostrophe-S.
Okay. See, we're
Dave goes for the...
I go for the Jewish thing. That's what I was wondering.
Related to the Katz's Deli family?
apparently not so much.
So did you remember the song?
I didn't remember that song either. Once again, songs that probably never got played in my market. And these were from 85, and I quit working in the College Station in 84. So,
was there an alternative station, or was there, where did you go to hear new music?
The college radio station, 91 Rock.
So that was it. Yeah.
I worked at, yeah.
So it was just straight through work. What about when you were in high school? Was there a station that you enjoyed?
That was the station
Same
I listened
station.
To.
Was okay. It was always that. That was it. And it was always, and it was just college kids that were running this yeah. thing.
And some volunteers, because during the summertime and during holidays, the students would all go home, and we wanted the station to still be on the air, so we would get on there and work there.
Yeah. And you never got paid there, though, either, did you?
I got free records and concert tickets.
Yeah, you got the title. You got the music director title, so the power.
And experience. Yes. Yeah.
And, you're right.
And what were we spending our money on other than that anyway? So
gasoline.
Yeah.
Concert tickets.
To go to the shows to drink with Motley Crue. That's how you got paid.
All right, 58, Thompson Twins, Lay Your Hands on Me.
Correct.
That was a big hit. That was a big multi-format hit.
I'm glad you remembered that one. Okay.
They had a lot of hit songs, the Thompson Twins did.
Yeah, they were, as we've mentioned, that they, you know, they played Live Aid, and they were, Madonna jumped on stage with them, and we knew all three members of Thompson Twins. I know them, Alana, Tom, and Joe. Those were the twins.
This old life seems rich too long. Think of what to say. Words just vanished in the haze. I was feeling cold and tired. Yeah, kind of sad and uninspired. When all will seem to move, I see your face and sense the grace and feel the magic in your touch.
Yeah, did you like them? Were you a fan of them?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I like a lot of different kind of music, so I can do everything from alt country to death metal to alternative to Americana. I like a lot of stuff, even some classic hip-hop. So.
All right, moving on to 57, The Power Station, Communication. Now, not a John Hughes fan. Were you a Duran Duran fan?
No, not really.
No, not surprising.
I liked them because all the girls liked them.
I understand. Yeah, no, I completely understand that. Mm-hmm. It's the REO Speedwagon rule for me. The girls love that, so I guess, okay, I'm going to like this too. But Power Station were kind of cool. I mean, it was, as I was listening to this song, just Robert Palmer and Tony Thompson, the drummer, he just kind of stands out on this track. He's amazing.
Robert Palmer was a great singer.
Drop me a line. Need
can't get through. Our communication depends on me and you. Got to stay in touch even though we're on the move. Keep your mind open, say what's the news. Exchange the facts. Keep in contact. Keep on trying to call you, but I can't get through. Our communication must get through.
Song. I didn't recall it.
No, it was a single. It hit 34 on the U.S. charts.
Yeah.
All you remember really is Bang a Gong, right? A
couple other ones.
Yeah.
Wasn't Irresistible? Was that Power Station?
No, that was just Robert Palmer. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, maybe it was just Bang a Gong then. You're right.
But yeah, Robert Palmer was, you're right. Yeah, just an amazing vocalist. And it was kind of a nice meeting. I was disappointed that when it came to Live Aid, or when they toured, it wasn't Robert Palmer. He was just like a one-off, and they went with Michael DeBaris to do the concert shows.
Oh, yeah.
And his wife did something else.
Yes,
somewhat. She kept busy.
She wrote a book.
And then started a podcast.
Yeah. Okay, number 56, this is The Alarm, and the song is called Strength.
Please tell us you played that one.
Well, it came out after I was at the College Station.
Oh, okay.
And we played The Alarm, a lot of different songs by them, but that was not one of them. I was a big fan of that band.
Like this song, Strength, is this something that that appealed to you?
I liked it, but it did not sound familiar. I don't think I'd heard it.
Really? See, that's amazing. Like, you know, we were, you know, K-Rock just kind of banged these songs, and we heard them constantly. You know, K-Rock kind of adapted to the CHR principle, just kind of playing these songs over and over and over. So we became instantly familiar with them.
Living in L.A., you probably forget that some people live in cities that didn't have a cool station.
Yeah.
Unless you worked at a record store or watched MTV, there was really no way to find out about stuff. You need to go to the store and buy music magazines. You had to go to the store and ask them if you could listen to it. And some stores would let you play songs, but other than that, you're kind of screwed.
So you mentioned MTV. Did you have MTV?
When I was in college, my friend had MTV. My parents didn't have cable, so I'd go to his house and watch it.
They were busy listening to classical music.
Right.
If you watch the video, you saw like the mullet was a big look back then.
It still is in some parts of the country.
Oh, man.
Some people have a skullet, that is.
Oh, just got shaved? Shaved on the...
They're bald on top, but they still have long hair in the back.
No.
Not a good look.
That's what our people are looking like now. What was your style of hair? What did you look like back in 85?
The fade.
It was the fade, but what else? I mean, there must have been something else like...
It was like went into a mohawk in the back.
Okay.
So it was really different. I had a really good barber. I had to go like every 2 weeks to get my hair trimmed. But it was only like $7 back then to get a haircut.
Yeah.
But it was important. You really had to have that look.
Hair was very important in the 80s.
So
true.
Number 55. This is ABC. Were you familiar with ABC, the band at all?
Yeah, the look of love.
Okay.
Is that ABC?
Yes.
Lexicon of Love.
Yeah, so this song is from the album after that. The song is called Vanity Kills, and there were two different versions of this song. The U.S. version, which was kind of like a film noir type thing going on, and then the U.K. version had...
Of the video.
Yeah, it was more a performance, but it was like four squares of the band, but they were all doing the same thing. It was almost kind of pointless why they had four squares. The whole thing was, I wasn't a big fan of any of this. Were you a fan of ABC or this song?
I like the band. I'm not familiar with that song. Once again, you probably didn't have it on, you played it in our city. So I hate that I'm not familiar as I should be with this, but probably after I left the College Station, I started listening to more hard rock.
We like opinions too, professional opinions.
I'm glad you found someone who loves you. What's that to say? That someone is you. And that perhaps you'll both be happy. Guess that makes two. Just you and you. Someone who cares so much about you. But does that someone have to be you?
You guys do like a 80s or flashback or anything like that at the station?
We used to have that for probably 20 years. We did a retro show, but we haven't lately. And nowadays you could almost do a retro show of like 90s music.
Oh, yeah. Of the aughts. You got to do, you know, on Sirius XM, one of my favorite stations is Indie 1.0, where they're playing like indie artists from the 2000s. You know, remember Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah. You know, that's, you know, that type of stuff. Like,
yeah,
it makes me feel a little old when I look back at some of these bands, and then I think that, wow, U2 has been around for 30 years or more, and Chili Peppers have been around for 30 years, and those guys are all in their 50s now. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, they're
supposed to be the same. We age, but they're supposed to be the same.
Right.
Now, okay, so Red Hot Chili Peppers, they have a new song out. Is that something that you guys look into to play, because they're old and everyone knows them?
We play the new song, and they're coming to play their football stadium this summer.
Yeah,
could they sell out a stadium in Nashville?
I don't know. We'll find out.
Apparently they are. Yeah.
Yeah, I just wouldn't have thought. I mean, I know here, but I didn't know about their popularity.
Well, they've been on the radio since what, the 80s. People in their 20s still like them, and people who are in their 50s still like them. So it's a pretty wide variety of people that should be at the show.
It's, yeah, one of those bands that kind of covers the spectrum. Everyone. The band everyone can agree upon. Okay, so now we get to number 54. I think probably my favorite Halloween song is Streakback's Nemesis. I don't know if you knew this song, but I
did not.
I love this. How are you with Halloween song? I'm sure you're a metal guy. You must love a few Halloween songs, but you know, like Alice Cooper.
We play lots of Halloween music every Halloween at the station.
Do you play Streakback's Nemesis?
We have not so far.
Well,
I
think
add it this year.
I think 2022, we're going to hear a little Streakback.
Love has no meaning, but where they come from, but we know pleasure is not that simple. Very little fruit is forbidden. Sometimes we wobble, sometimes we're strong, but you know evil is an exact science. Be carefully correct.
Can I make a request? I'd like to request Streakback, please. Let's go to what we need. We need a little NXS. This is number 53, NXS, What You Need. You must have known this song, and you must have loved it.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I loved it song, and that was another song that seems like it made it onto rock radio as well as alternative radio.
Yeah, they were a crossover band.
This one made it to number 5 here.
And it's amazing. Maybe 4 or 5 years ago, there was a new album by INXS with obviously a new singer, but didn't really do much.
Yeah, did you hear it? Did you give it a listen?
I did listen to it, and I wasn't amazed.
Yeah, they constantly. I know they had like a reality show of who trying to find a new lead singer for the band.
Michael Hutchins was a great singer.
Talk about Live Aid. They played Live Aid in Australia. They did like a performance there, and they sang this song. It's the best. He actually had like one of those faux hawks, like I don't know how you did. It was kind of like a mullet, but it was shaved tight, appropriate for 1985.
I need to go back and watch Live Aid again. I'm sure it's on YouTube.
Oh yeah, you can pull up a lot of that stuff. It's pretty amazing. Some of the performances, you know, they just kind of blow your mind, and then. As I mentioned, watching the Thompson Twins, and then, you know, that's there's Nile Rodgers, and then Madonna jumps up on stage to sing with them. They sing Revolution, the Beatles Revolution, quite a time. Did you like any of those, the charity songs, like, you know, Do They Know It's Christmas or We Are the World or anything like that?
I thought they were interesting to watch the video. Sometimes it's more fun to watch the video and try to name each person on there than it was to listen to the song, but... It was entertaining. It was good stuff. And they meant well, so.
They meant, yeah. Yeah, that was back when we could identify each singer. I remember trying to play that game. Okay, who's coming in? Who is that? Okay. Let's move on. Number 52. This is an artist called King. And there's no way you know this song. This is...
I didn't even know who the artist was, so I had to look it up.
Okay, yeah. So this was Won't You Hold My Hand Now. He had another song that's further on up the charts, that was a bigger song that actually made the charts. But this was a guy, his last name was King, and that's why they called him, that's why they call this band King. This guy was actually a VJ on MTV for a short period of time. Yeah.
Dave, did you remember it?
Yeah, I did. And it's kind of catchy. I mean, when you say, won't, you know, as you say the title, I hear the, yeah, you know, the tune, the melody.
Yeah.
Won't you hold my hand now?
Yeah. Yeah. Like this. It was just 80s. It was quintessential 80s.
These are heavy times, so why'd you show your hand? I don't mean kiss and tell. I'm such a jealous man.
Okay, but wait, speaking of hair, did you watch the video?
Yeah.
Did you? Is that a ponytail in the back of his mullet?
It could have been. I look on Wikipedia, and on Wikipedia it says that Paul King wore what some believe was a mullet, but in reality was just long hair, mullet and spray-painted Doc Martin boots, and a look described like the child catcher from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. If you remember the movie Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and the evil guy who kidnapped the kids. Do you remember? No, but I'm getting blank stares from both of you. Didn't you watch Chitty Chitty Bang Bang? Oh.
When I was younger.
All right. Anyway, it was not a good look. But
that sounds like a Wikipedia doesn't usually express such harsh opinions or such detailed opinions.
You could put anything on Wikipedia. Okay, you might know this. There was another King. There was a guy called King. He was a Norwegian musician. He's a bassist in the black metal band Gorgoroth. Do you remember them?
I remember the name. I don't remember the band.
Okay. King was in that band.
A different King.
Gorgoroth. That's a black metal band. Are you a fan of
Gorgoroth?
Gorgoroth. Gorgoroth.
I need to know this band.
Get how deep did you get into metal music? Did you get into black metal at all? Can you listen to that?
I actually went and saw King Diamond in concert.
Oh, okay.
And Merciful Fate was kind of black metal. That was a band that he was in before he broke up and went solo. I liked the music and I liked his voice. I'm not really into Satanism or anything like that, but the music was really good.
Open your mind, Keith. Come on.
To Satanism?
Yeah. You know, there's different ways. The Grammy Museum, they had a metal section for a while, and there was a booth where you got to sing like a death metal singer. So they gave you the lyrics, and then you had to try and scream them out. And like after 30 seconds, I was like, I just can't do this. That Cookie Monster voice.
That'd be fun.
Oh, it was very fun, but it killed my throat. Could not do it.
You could do karaoke. You could do some metal karaoke.
Death metal karaoke could be fun. I might be into that. Next Concrete Music Conference, we'll do that. Let's wrap this up with Sexy Time. This is Brian Ferry's Slave to Love. First of all, you know Brian Ferry. You know Roxy Music, right? You still play play it on Lightning?
Actually, I don't think we have any in our catalog.
What?
I was a big Roxy Music fan.
Yeah.
And they always had great album covers.
Yes.
Hypnosis was the company that made their albums. And they always had, you look at their album covers, they'd always have like beautiful women on there, but there was something messed up in the picture. And you'd have to look really close and then you'd go, whoa, what's that all about?
Yeah, like the gum. Yeah, there was always something a little amusing or just a little off. Roxy Music and Ohio Players, I believe, had the best album covers, if I remember correctly.
Oh.
Back then, you wouldn't buy an album sometimes just because the cover was so good. You're probably thinking the music's going to be good.
That's right. They put this much thought into the album cover. The music's got to be, hopefully, it'll be just as good.
You're programmed to believe it. What? Is it really so?
Slave to Love is like, that's Sexy Time. Is that something you might put on?
I will listen to whatever the girl is like.
Okay. Once again, you'll put on Duran Duran if you have to.
There you go. Take one for the team.
Did you play Roxy Music or Brian Ferry back in the day?
Yes, absolutely.
Lots of
songs by them.
Keith, I really appreciate you going over this these 10 songs, even though this was a new experience for you. A lot of introducing you to a lot of new music, apparently.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if you asked my opinion about songs from 5 years ago. Because we're 10, even 10 or 15, but these songs were songs that, for the most part, did not get played. I mean, the Brian Ferry and the In Excess songs were multi-format songs. But back then, like I said, we didn't have the cool alternative station that played a lot of these songs. I mean, you grew up listening to K-Rock. You're pretty blessed, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. We do recognize it. And when we talk to people all over the country, it is interesting for us to hear who played what, because as we know, some of the things from the, like we've talked about Oingo Boingo, which was huge in Los Angeles, you know, not so big in New York. And it's interesting for us to hear, get perspective.
And same with metal music. I mean, we were lucky that we got to, I mean,
had everything.
Yeah. We had KNEC. We could listen to metal at any time. There was the West Coast, East Coast, but there really wasn't a Midwest. I don't know if, was there some local bands, some local metal bands that you were into in Nashville?
Yes. There was a band called Intruder that were signed to Metal Blade back in the late 80s, early 90s. But other than that, there was a, a rock scene. I mean, there's a lot of bands, but most of them never made it big, or never even made it out of regional touring.
Okay, wait, I have a question. I'm pivoting. Because you mentioned old school rap. What did you think of the Super Bowl halftime show?
I thought it was amazing. It's music that, you know, people my age, they know all the words, you know, all the songs, and it's cool to see it on TV. And most of the players probably listen to that music as well. Yeah. It was interesting to see the response of some of the people on Facebook and on Twitter that didn't like it. And it was like, what is there not to like? It was amazing. And some people just closed-minded, I guess.
Hopefully you'll see your Vikings there one day.
Hopefully they'll get Metallica to play.
There you go. What's the best barbecue in Nashville?
I'm vegetarian, dude.
Oh, in Nashville? Is that possible?
It is now. It was difficult back in the 80s because Southern cooking has everything. It has like lard or bacon or something in it. But nowadays there's a lot of independent restaurants that have opened here. Nashville's actually a kind of a foodie town now.
That's phenomenal. How long have you been a vegetarian?
I grew up vegetarian.
Is that right?
My parents were vegetarian.
So. Is it vegetarian or have you tried veganism?
I love cheese too much.
Okay. All right. We all have weaknesses. That's fine.
Yeah, cheese. Cheese for lunch. Yeah. Just cheese and crackers.
Just cheese for lunch. Thank you for taking the time with us, and especially at work. And I'm a big fan. Loved your stuff. Still, was it 7 to 11 every Monday through Friday?
Monday, I'm on from 8 until midnight, but Monday through Friday. And then Sunday, I'm on from 8 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon. We only have like 5 DJs at the station. So,
has it been music director of the year like 5 years running? How many years straight has it been?
No, not 5. I think I've won 3 different times.
3? Okay.
Our station has won 5 years in a row.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
The station of the year.
That's huge.
You guys are doing something right. Just killing it every time. So,
we play lots of local music and we play lots of new music. So.
We'll expect to hear some of these 10 songs added to a music every here and there.
I will request Shriek Back in October. I really appreciate you taking the time out and spending it with us. So as always, a joy to see you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And very nice to meet you.
All right. Thanks, guys. All right. Cheers. We'll see you around.
Okay.
Bye.
All right.
Bye.
Okay, so that was our talk with the Reverend Keith Coase. He of Nashville, Tennessee's Lightning 100. That is in Nashville. I also learned that he's a vegetarian. I can't believe someone in Nashville is a vegetarian. It just blows my mind.
And he's into heavy metal.
As one should.
Yeah, so a heavy metal vegetarian?
Yeah, just a guy who fell in love with radio at an early age, and even if he wasn't a student at Vanderbilt, he still wanted to be heard. So, got to spin those platters, right?
Or as Tammy Heidi says, the platters that matter.
Yes, indeed.
Go Rev.
So that was another wonderful episode. Thank you, Holly. Thanks to Pantheon Podcasts. And we will be back next Friday with another superstar music fan. I don't know. Who knows who we're going to talk to? But we're doing this in 10 song chunks, and new episodes come out every Friday.
We will be back next week with somebody interesting. You can be sure of that.
Okay. Follow us on social media. Where can they follow us on social media, Holly?
You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at WDDIM Podcast and Facebook at WDDIM Podcast and on our YouTube channel, What Difference Does It Make Podcast. Check us out. We have hundreds of clips on there from our past interviews.
Yes, very good stuff. So after you do that, like and subscribe and do all that fun stuff. We'll see you next Friday. Until then, this is Dave.
This is Holly.
Check you later.
Over and out.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.